the episode and a whole nother week, folks. I hope you're getting ready for Thanksgiving and having a good time for all of those who celebrate. And man,
you're married.
I'm married, and it was one hell of a wedding, I'll tell you that much. I can't believe what Dan did and what Bags did together. Ooh. That was crazy. this is Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joining, as always, it is...
Matty Juice.
Yes, it sure is. It sure is. Now, this is going to be a little bit different for those who are tuning in for the first time or missed last week's episode. Stop right now and go check out that episode and come back. We're not going to catch up because we already caught up, but the wedding was cool. I'm sure it was. And we don't have news because we're in the future or we're in the past. We're in the past and you're listening to this in the future. But Matt has a game to talk about. I talked about Menace from the Deep last week, and this week Matt will talk about Munch.
Munch. All right, let's hop right into it. So this was actually a game that was suggested in our Discord, so be sure to join the Fresh Juice Discord. That's always linked down in the description. And as far as what you can expect with this game, just a quick little kind of overview. It is developed by Mac and Cheese Games and published by them. This is their first game. So they're a small indie studio that is, you know, trying their hand at something kind of interesting here. It's only available on Steam, and the price currently is $16.66, which is a pretty interesting price there, and maybe alludes to kind of the part of the theme of the game, at least. But a little description here is Kill, Eat, Evolve. Unleash your inner monster in this dark fantasy action roguelite. Devour the followers of order, choose your mutations, and transform into 12 different monsters, each with their own abilities, soundtrack, and appetite. Crush the god Ordo to release the gods of heavy metal. So this is a pretty interesting concept for a game, and honestly one that I was pretty excited for, especially when it was shared in the Discord. But I will say, from a gameplay standpoint here, it does give a lot of early access feel. It doesn't feel very polished. It doesn't feel very rewarding from what I did play. The munch or eating ability as well is a little bit underwhelming. You can see some interesting kind of evolutions happening on screen here, which is a really cool moment in the game when you eat a certain amount of things, you can evolve into a kind of different type of monster that has slightly different abilities here. But I will say overall, the munching ability was a little bit of a disappointment here. And I think just for a game that's called Munch, where like you're expecting to eat and evolve and grow and get different abilities, I was just looking for a little bit more out of it. I actually find like things like Yoshi's eating ability to be a lot more satisfying, or even things like, I was kind of viewing this game as almost like a Super Mario Odyssey, right? Where like I consume things, and based on what I consume, or based on what I put my hat on, I guess in Mario Odyssey's case, I would get different abilities based on that. That's not really how this game works at its core. There are kind of three different elements that you can consume, and you can see in the bottom left, there's that green bar right there below your health if you're watching on YouTube. And based on the elements that you consume, it will add to that bar, and then that's how you can continue to evolve. But one thing with kind of the way the eating ability works in this game is that you're not eating the enemies themselves. You are defeating the enemies through attacks, and then they are dropping specific elements that you then consume. So it almost feels like the gameplay here is slower than what I would like it to be. And you can see that just as an example of it right there. He went and can kind of consume some items after destroying an item. I kind of think it would be a lot more satisfying if those two things were merged. And I am eating enemies in order to grow, rather than defeating enemies to then eat what they leave behind. It kind of just makes for a little bit too slow of gameplay for me. And I was just looking for more out of it, especially with a game, right, that's about kill, eating, and evolving. Now, when you do get to that evolution standpoint, though, or that evolution point, it is fun. It is cool because you do, you know, like they said, there's 12 different monsters that each have different abilities. But I will say the combat overall in this game is a little bit one note as well. It's basic. It gets the job done, but it also doesn't really feel like super satisfying. That's kind of like the biggest thing with this game for me, is that it just didn't feel very satisfying doing these eating abilities and the way the combat was, and even the exploration in this didn't feel super satisfying. It kind of gives me a little bit of like Diablo vibes in terms of like how you explore this map. You know, you have a mini map. It's actually not shown on the screen right here. I'm not too sure why that is. Maybe this is demo gameplay or something a little bit earlier, but there is a mini map that can show you where certain enemies are. They're kind of highlighted on the map. There's plenty of kind of exploration, but there isn't really a lot of points of interest in between those in between those enemies that you do end up finding. So that just wasn't super satisfying for me either. I kind of felt like most of the time I was really just kind of walking, waiting to find an enemy or hoping to find an enemy in a specific area. And it just, that's the core issue with this game, is that it didn't really give me a lot of satisfaction. Now, you can see here, obviously, you've got those roguelite features, right, where once you fill up that bar after eating, you can eventually evolve. But as you, before your evolution step, you do get those different kind of typical roguelite options that you would get of like, increasing your movement speed or increasing your attack damage, things like that. So those are very basic, and there wasn't really anything there that surprised me too much as far as like what those upgrade abilities are. But I was looking for a little bit more out of like the attacks, for example. So there is an upgrade ability where like if you attack an enemy, there's supposed to be like a shockwave that gets sent to the other enemy, something that we've seen a lot before in other games. It wasn't really that satisfying to do. It also, we'll talk about the art standpoint, but visually, I didn't really even see that happening. So I know there's been a good amount of feedback about this game, and I know we're just talking about the gameplay right now, but there's been a good amount of feedback about how this probably should have been released in early access. And there's actually a review of the game that I was looking at earlier where someone mentioned that, and the developer responded, and they said they did consider early access but decided against it, and it might have been the wrong decision. But obviously, they're too far along at this point where they can't really change that, so they're focusing on solving some bugs. And we'll talk about performance as well, later in the review. But I think the biggest thing for me is just that it was an underwhelming experience actually munching on like enemies and evolving. I would have found it a lot more satisfying if it was, I was eating these enemies, right, and dealing damage to them that way, rather than having a separate combat system where then I have to defeat the enemy and then I munch whatever it left behind. So for me, that is kind of the the biggest thing in terms of the gameplay. There's also not a real clear expectation of what the goal is as you're going through these runs. Now, there are some quests that you can see on the right side there, but they just kind of throw you into the gameplay. They do not really give you a big explanation of why you're doing this, what you are, what what's going on. There is a little bit of a setup story-wise, a little bit of basically these, we'll talk about the story, but it doesn't really set up why you're doing these things. It just kind of gives you a setup of like who your characters kind of are as you kind of start the game. So that was also an issue for me of just like, after playing for a certain amount of time, I was just like, what? Like, what am I looking for here? Like, is there an end goal? Is there a boss I should be finding? Is there another level I should be looking for? Maybe a door? It just really wasn't clear. And there are some things that are tied to, there's some perks and things that you can obviously unlock back at the main menu that will affect your runs. Some of them say, complete your first run. But I don't know how to complete a first run. I did end up getting far enough to do that, but it wasn't really spelled out for me like, oh, I should be trying to find this, or I should be trying to defeat this in order to actually complete the run. And I think a lot of other roguelites, they either have a timer or they have some sort of end game that you're going for. This one, it just wasn't clear from a gameplay standpoint. So I do think there's potential in the gameplay. but I just think they really fell short. And because if this game was really released as early access, I'd be saying all the same things, but I would have a lot more hope that they'd be able to iterate and improve these things. But since this came out as a 1.0 release, I just think the gameplay is like just disappointing overall. So now, as far as the story goes, I don't know, before we get into that, Tom, did you have any questions gameplay wise? Because I know this was a game that you had said looked really cool and that you were hoping maybe was a good experience. But any questions gameplay wise?
No, not a whole lot. I mean, I think that, yeah, it did look really cool and. You know, I was going to wait and see what you had to say about this game before I made a decision. But in games like this, the gameplay is like kind of everything. And just like even watching this gameplay, it's not, I don't know. There's something I want to bring up at the end of your review that I'm going to hold on to. But it does remind me of something I'd been thinking for a hot minute now. So. I'll let you continue.
Yeah, and you know, just really the big thing for me is like for a game called Munch, there's not a lot of munching. It feels like going on in the gameplay. I was kind of expecting a lot more of it, but as far as the story goes, you know, you kind of start out with it's almost like a mythological, like these metal gods. You know, it kind of mentioned in the description. Basically there's the kind of, I think these four main gods, if I remember correctly, but one of them decides to really be the ruler of all of them. And then the other three are not allowed to come into contact with each other. They basically have their own kind of kingdoms, that they watch over, but they never explain to why they're not allowed to come together. And so they make a plan themselves, those other three, to actually come together. And when they do, they form like this monster, basically. So that's kind of how it like puts you right into the world here. But it doesn't, again, it doesn't explain why what you're trying to do when you're here. And maybe it's something that I missed. Maybe it was something subtle, but I feel like it should be, you know, they did a good job opening up the game with these kind of story elements, but it should be something that is kind of repeatedly mentioned, maybe through a narrator or some sort of subtitles that happen as you discover things while you're playing. And that was also an issue as well, is that there's no narrator and the subtitles that are present in the beginning of the game are very long. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit too long to the point where I was just like, I mean, I'm going to read it because of the review, but like, I think the average person would just be like, all right, just get me to the gameplay. They just kind of, you know, maybe break them up a little bit, maybe add a few more little cutscenes, you know, here and there. But overall, I mean, there's not really a lot of story elements with the game. Once you get into the gameplay, I didn't really notice anything different, even in terms of like when you actually evolve to a monster. There's not really, you know, I don't know, any story elements that explain why you're evolving into this specific monster. So you can even see like right here, you know, on the YouTube screen, it's really cool, you know, gut puncher. Awesome. Yeah. You know, but like, what is that? You know, like, is that, you know, is there a reason that I'm evolving into this? Is there any story element? It'd be great if like, after you did that, there was a narrator that, you know, maybe it was like gut punch, you know, gave a little history of what gut puncher is, you know, from a mythological standpoint. Because I do think that this game has the kind of the atmosphere and the overall like scenery of something that could be a really cool story, right? With that like mythological feel, with the heavy metal elements thrown into it as well, and kind of demonic elements at the same time. So there's potential there for some more story elements, but I just didn't really get a lot of it. Once they throw you into the gameplay, that's basically it. So not a lot here story-wise. But talking about the art, though, this is probably the strongest point in the game for me. I think the art looks really cool. It almost has like a comic book kind of feel to it, especially in the cutscenes, which is interesting. You know, you obviously have a bit of the 3D art here when it comes to like actually like the way the worlds are built. The enemy design is actually pretty cool. There's different environmental hazards that you come across as well. The actual monster design, I think, is cool because, you know, you do get different abilities based on the different monsters you transform into, but also the way those monsters look makes sense with the abilities. Like, for example, this gut puncher one right here that we're watching, you know, it's all about punching, right? It's all about like Hulk smash and then that sort of stuff. But that makes sense based on how this guy looks. There's also another monster I transformed into that was more of like a spider kind of monster that was a little bit more, you know, agile, and it just makes sense from like an art standpoint. So they did a good job overall with like the enemy design and the character design. I do think sometimes it gets a little busy on the screen. Like you can see right now on the left side and on the bottom right and the bottom left, you know, there's a few kind of elements there that I don't think need to be there all the time. You know, especially the ones on the left, it doesn't make sense why they're there all the time to me. But I think overall, like the UI is fine in this game. It took me maybe 2 minutes to really learn it back in like the main menu when I'm trying to, you know, apply certain perks and passive abilities and things like that. So it was pretty quick to learn. But overall, with the art, you know, I think it's a good looking game. I don't think it's anything intensely. I don't know if that makes sense, but I don't think it's anything too unique where I would be able to look at this and be like, oh, that's Munch's art style, right? I've seen other games kind of in this art style as well. But I do, I think maybe if there was a little bit more of it leaning into, for the characters I'm talking about, leaning more into like the mythological side of things, I think that could have been a little bit more interesting. Maybe some things that we've seen before that maybe are just iterations of, you know, other mythological creatures that could be kind of cool. But yeah, other than that, though, I do think they did a pretty good job with the art. I think it's easy to understand from like a UI standpoint. I just think that there's a small little fine tuning that they could do with the art for this game. But as far as the sound goes, though, I did have a big problem with the sound. Now, this is a game that prides itself right on the heavy metal aspect of you know, like I mentioned, the kind of mythological side of things, but then also obviously with the soundtrack, it's very heavy metal-esque. The problem here is that it feels like it was just overlaid onto the game rather than really fitting into like the world itself. It's kind of, you know, there are different soundtracks based on the different monsters, but it got to a point where I felt like I was playing heavy metal music on Spotify while playing this game. Mm-hmm. So I was hearing kind of the sound effects of the characters and the world. But it was just like I could barely hear them because of how loud the heavy metal soundtrack was. Now, I'm not a big heavy metal guy, but in games, I usually think it's pretty badass, you know, when like you're playing like a game like Doom, you're like, this is awesome, you know, this fits perfectly. And I think Doom is a really good example of like a really intense soundtrack that fits so well with the gameplay. And I think this is a similar case where the soundtrack just doesn't fit well with the gameplay. I mentioned that it'd be great if the munching ability, you know, like, let me just go eat things. I don't need to, like, I don't want to defeat enemies and then have to eat whatever they drop. I feel like if I was just going around, like just destroying everything by just like munching on it, that the soundtrack would have fit a little bit better with that. I kind of almost felt like the gameplay was a little too slow for what the soundtrack was, because you're getting amped up as you listen to this heavy metal music. You're like, oh man, this is like, you know, this is badass. Like I can't wait to see what kind of unravels from here. But then as you explore the map, you start to kind of get a little annoyed at like, okay, this is just kind of looping over and over. And I just want to know where to go or what to do. So it felt a little too detached, you know, sound wise. And the music sounds good though. It is a good, you know, they did a good job soundtrack wise, but it really just drowns out the sound effects. And I would have liked to hear more of the sound effects, especially, you know, eating sound effects. I didn't really get a lot of that playing this game, which surprises me just based on the title. And I feel like I'm kind of beating a dead horse here a little bit, right? But it's just a game that's called Munch. I just feel like I should have had more eating. That surprised me a lot. So even from the sound standpoint. Now, as far as like the main menu goes and like little kind of sound effects here and there, they're all fine. You know, exactly what you kind of expect when you're selecting things, and the enemy sounds are all fine as well. It's just that overarching soundtrack really kind of pulls you away from the game after you've heard it for like 10 minutes in a row. And you're just like, all right, like I need something a little bit different here. So, as far as sound goes, that's really all the notes I had on that. I know I'm kind of cruising through this, but as far as the performance of the game, there have been some people I saw that said that their game crashed and, you know, they were having some early access kind of bugs. I actually didn't really run into too many of those. Like my game didn't crash. There maybe were a few bugs here and there in terms of like character movement. It doesn't really feel like fully polished. And I just kind of felt like if this was early access, it would be a lot more understandable, but because it isn't, you know, it would be nice if like the character movement was a little bit more polished, but I didn't really have a lot of performance issues though, where it would, you know, hinder the gameplay or anything that was game breaking. To me, you know, since the gameplay was slower than I was anticipating, I guess maybe that's why there weren't a lot of performance issues. There's also not a lot to these maps, like I mentioned. There's a decent amount of like empty space, so that I guess helps with performance. You know, I played on Steam, so everything ran fine. But there, just as a warning out there, there are people that are saying there are some like serious bugs with this game, but it does look like the developers are trying to address them pretty quickly. I know they've already released a few patches, they've said, so you know, I'm sure it won't be an issue long term, but just as an FYI, it's been a little of the feedback I've seen, but I haven't experienced myself. So getting into the ratings though,
yeah,
we have this should, you know, maybe be no surprise, but we have a rating tier list here of Certified Fresh Juice. That's your S tiers. That's your Balatros. That's your Amazing Games. That's your Game of the Year's winners of this year. And then we have a Steal. We have Get on Sale, Manager Special, and Spoiled Milk. Those are games that we do not recommend at all to anyone. This one was a little tricky for me. All right. So I know a lot of people probably thinking Spoiled Milk, right, for this one. But I'm going to give this a low Manager Special, so pretty close to Spoiled Milk. Now, the main reason for it is, you know, it's a $16 game that just should have been released in early access. If this was an early access game, it would easily have been an on sale, because I'd be like, all right, this is, you know, this has potential. But I just feel like they kind of missed the mark of like what people are probably expecting with this game. But I do think, if you were able to pick up this game for like $5 or less, you could probably have a good time with it, you know, kill a few hours maybe, you know. I'm sure they're going to continue to iterate on it, but it's just, it's not a game that I will continue to play. And I just kind of feel like they just kind of missed the mark with the overall theme, which is disappointing, because when this was shared in the Discord, I think both of us were like, this looks pretty dang cool. Like, yeah, this is a really cool concept. But unfortunately it just didn't hit the mark for me. So I'm giving this a low Manager Special. But what are you thinking, Tom? You got any questions about Munch?
I think you really hit the nail on the head from what, you know, you experienced. I wouldn't even argue. I wouldn't be, well, you know, why didn't you, well, why didn't you like it more? This is kind of interesting, right? Because I'm looking at Munch here, and I just feel like, are we hitting the point in, I also say that the Steam page makes it look a lot cooler than,
yeah,
even what you showed in the gameplay here. So like I'm looking at this and I'm like, all right, are we hitting the I don't know, the other side of the bell curve on the action roguelikes, right? Where we are starting to see everybody put one out, and maybe they try to do a little something different, but it's a little hard to make these the best, right? Mm-hmm. And do you think that's what we're seeing here? Because I don't know if we'll see another truly great action roguelite that this is clearly taking inspiration from.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it's an indication of that, just because I feel like it's more of a developer like choice issue. Like, I just feel like the game should have been released in early access, and if it was, it could have evolved to, it still could, I guess, evolve to something great. But I think the concept is cool, right? Mm-hmm. But I just think it was poorly executed. And I think that, you know, if they were to continue iterating on the game, it could be something that doesn't indicate that it's like, you know, kind of that lower part of the bell curve there. But it could be, you know, I mean, who knows at this point? There's been so many roguelites, action roguelites, that have come out. But this one just kind of seemed like it kind of stood from the pack a little bit, mm-hmm. But it just, you know, fell a little bit short. So it could be an indication of that. But I just think it's more about, like, you know, since the developers themselves said that they might have made a wrong decision not releasing an early access, to me, that's like, okay, like, this, even to the developers, this isn't like a finished game yet, you know? So,
yeah,
that's where it gets a little tricky.
That is strange that they would even admit that, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
it's not a great look. But hey, listen, it looks cool. There's a lot of cool stuff about it, and unfortunately, I don't think I'll be picking it up. But maybe if we see Munch 2 yeah. Furious, we will see perhaps, I don't know, something a little bit better.
Yeah,
but we have listener questions. Do you know that?
Oh my God, where do you submit those?
On the Fresh Juice Discord. First one, we have a really happy-go-lucky question from Capolo. Which Pokemon would taste the best, and which video game character would be the best one to barbecue that Pokemon?
So I prepared a little bit. I wrote down execute, because eggs, prime up a little bit. That's an easy one, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Apparently also, like, Farfetch'd is, like, in Pokemon lore, is tastes really good.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I guess that could be another one. And I kind of misinterpreted the second part of the question for which video game character would be the best one to barbecue that Pokemon. I chose another Pokemon that could help barbecue that Pokemon. I chose Cyndaquil. Yeah. I figured Cyndaquil could be good because he's got the fire on the back and he could just, like, lay down and I could just, like, roast the, like, you know, have a pan over him with some executes in there.
Sure.
Maybe something like that. But as far as video game character, that would be good. Best one to barbecue that Pokemon. I'm assuming it has to be like a fire based video game character, I guess. Unless it's like just someone manning the grill. You know, it could be anyone, like Master Chief. But yeah, I don't know. That's what I wrote down. What do you think of Tom?
I think off the dome I was gonna say Miltank, right? Beef. Something beefy.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Golly, let me think about it. Well, you know, not Growlithe. Okay, that's we don't want to do that. I don't know. I think, like, if I'm being realistic, like, execute Miltank, perhaps. Trying to think, like, not Incineroar, the Tay Pig. Which was okay. the fire pig. So that's like a spicy pork.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds good.
It's already half done for you.
Yeah, already half done. You just like, I guess, what's the name of the octopus one? I forget the name of the octopus.
Tentacruel?
That's the squid one. Although, Tentacruel and Tentacruel probably taste good. Not dugong or seal. That would be terrible. Because you had to get a club. Geez Louise.
What's the Clavopus?
Clavopus? Oh yeah, Clavopus.
Octillery.
Octillery.
Is that it?
Yeah, I like stuff like that. Like Goldeen, Sea King, probably they all taste good. Magikarp probably tastes excellent.
Yeah. Well, big old Gyarados, you know?
Gyarados, honestly, I feel like Gyarados is so muscular, it might be a little tough.
All right, all right.
But in terms of character to barbecue these Pokemon, I mean, Bowser, I think of here.
Oh, yeah.
That would be like a no-brainer. Mario and Luigi, they do have with a fire, with a power flower. Give them, yeah. Give them a shot. Gee whiz.
Captain Falcon. Falcon Punch. I don't know.
Maybe I'm trying to think of somebody non-Nintendo. That's how good Nintendo is. Just like they have the characters.
Yeah. That'll be barbecuing. It's tough. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, the Human Torch, if you count. Like, yeah.
There you go.
A Marvel game, perhaps.
Let's see. Scorpion's got fire powers.
Sure.
There you go. Yeah, I looked up video game characters with fire powers. It's a lot of Nintendo. You got Spyro. You know,
Spyro, okay.
There you go, yeah. And a bunch of Japanese... I don't know what these are from. I don't know. Yeah, but interesting question, though. Never had a question like this.
Yeah, makes me hungry, I'll tell you that much. Next question comes from K-more, who asked, what's a game that you were excited for but ended up disappointing you the most?
So I wrote down two things for this. One of them is a game we did on the show. Another one is a game we didn't do on the show.
Okay.
Game we did on the show is Hellskate. I know I mentioned that before. I really thought Hellskate was going to be awesome, even though it was released in early access. Did disappoint me quite a bit. And then the other game is Gauntlet 2016. That was a game that I was pretty excited for. I think I beat it in the first 2 days with a shout out Weasel. Played with him until like 3 or 4 in the morning. And then when I finished the game, I was like, that's it. That's the game. It was over so quickly. I was expecting a Dark Legacy kind of, size game. But yeah, those two were the first ones that popped in my head. I'm sure there's more of them out there, but, and Munch too. There you go. But what do you think, Tom?
There's definitely one that we've done. And that was Wizard with a Gun.
Mm.
Certainly was a game that disappointed me. Golly. I'm just looking at some stuff I have on my library that perhaps I just removed. gee, Willikers.
Yeah. There's a good amount on mine. That was just kind of disappointing. Let's see here. Deathloop, that was one that kind of disappointed me a bit. I know I played that with our buddy Bags a bit. That was one I just thought it was going to be cooler than what it actually was. That one was a bit disappointing as well. Also, like Call of Duty Ghosts, I remember getting that game when the Xbox One first came out. It was like the only game that was really like available other than like, I think like a Dead Rising game, which was fun. Call of Duty Ghost was terrible. I think it's the worst Call of Duty I've ever played. That one was just super frustrating. I don't know. You got anything on your side there? Anything else?
So I will, this is actually something that I played recently. The creator of RuneScape. I forget his name. Andrew something. Just came out with a new game, a new MMO, Brighter Shores.
Yep.
I downloaded it. I played half a tutorial and undownloaded it. It was, unfortunately, I don't know if it was a bad tutorial, but I was like, This has none of the charm of RuneScape, but still kind of feels like RuneScape. And you're just like, I don't know. This is disappointing. So, yeah, Brighter Shores.
Does it seem like it's, because a few of the guys were talking about that game that play RuneScape, and I've never really played RuneScape. Mm-hmm. But does it seem like Brighter Shores is just trying to recapture, like, RuneScape's hype or nostalgia, and but just kind of modernize it a little bit, or does it feel like a different game?
I mean, it does feel like a different game, but like it's definitely. I think the idea there was, if I could make RuneScape again, this is what I would do.
Okay,
and gotcha. To be fair, I think a lot of people might be enjoying it. I'm not one of them. I was just like, this kind of sucks. Like, yeah. I wanted to give it a fair shot because I heard people dunking on it. And I was like, well, it can't be that bad. Kind of was. So.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you get past the tutorial. But the tutorial was, like, tough to get through.
Okay.
Like, it was just like, this is really boring. And it's like, I don't really care about any of this. So.
Yeah.
And it's like a long tutorial. Instead of being like RuneScape, pretty quick tutorial. And then you're like kind of out there like discovering stuff. And I think that's the best part about it. So that's how I feel. So
yeah.
Great question, K-More. And finally, Arcarp asked, what is your favorite beer?
My favorite beer. My favorite beer is First Cut. Ooh-wee. From Trogues. But if I had to choose like a, one of the bigger beer brands, I always love like a Corona with like a lime, you know, on a nice summer day, nice ice cold Corona. And for whatever reason, Corona bottles, like when I'm done with them, I never do, but they just, the way they're shaped, I just want to like break them over I don't know why. Like it just makes me just want to be like, you know, and just like.
You kind of scared me there, but
yeah. No, nothing else is going on with those bottles.
Okay.
Yeah, probably those two, I guess, if I had to choose. But I mean, I'm not too picky with beer either. I like a lot of different ones.
Yeah, this is a good question. I mean, the answer to my question is always, this question is usually whichever beer is in my hand, which is actually not true because there are some bad beers I've drank. Unfortunately, like a lot of the beer style that I really enjoy has become a little bit harder to obtain these days. The like classic West Coast style, like bright and like kind of hoppy, not too malty. Some of the West Coast styles can be too malty. So like, here in Jersey, it's hard to get it like fresh. Like Union Jack IPA from Firestone is like one of my favorites from wine country out there. I do love Zombie Dust. I work for Trogues, a lot of the Trogues beers, Perpetual, Troganator, stuff like that. It used to be Philly Pale Ale from Yards, but like, they've gone so downhill that like, I rarely even order Yards Philly Pale Ale if I even find it anymore. So, you know, something, you know, like very hoppy, but like not that like New England IPA style of hoppy where it just feels like you're drinking dust and but also my wedding beer was the best. I wish I had right. more of it.
Oh yes, oh so good. Yeah, yeah. So good. And nothing went wrong with nothing the bartender wrong, it was so. Great. Yeah, actually I did have some Trogues at a restaurant over the weekend.
Which restaurant? If you don't,
it's in PA. We went to Nico's, Yardley, PA.
Oh, yeah. It's...
Oh, yes, yes. So they had...
I didn't know they had a bar.
Yeah, they do.
Very cool.
They do. Yeah. Nice. It was good. Yeah.
Nice. That was good. That brings us to the Rec Room, where we recommend something that perhaps isn't in any game.
Yeah. So I'm recommending.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yep. I'm actually recommending a TV show that I've only watched. Oh. There's only one season of it. I've only watched one episode so far. We watched it last night. It's called, it's been on my list for a while because it came out in 2023. It's called Scavenger's Reign.
Mm-hmm.
It's an animated show, sci-fi-esque, and definitely sci-fi. I'm not sure how long the first season is, but it's on Netflix. It's awesome. The first episode like had me and Maria hooked. It's got like, I mean, we had an edible when we watched it, but like even if we didn't, it feels like you're on one because like they have the craziest creatures. It's like the premise of the show is that there's like a missing space explorers. They like crash land, you know, on a planet. And they're trying to like build their, I guess there's a few storylines, but at least the one of them is they're, you know, they're trying to build something so they can call their ship back. But as they're doing that, there's like, you're getting introduced to all the different life forms and like organic life that's on the planet. And it is like, it's some of the weirdest, like craziest stuff. I was like, how do they think of these things? But it was so cool because there's not a lot of dialogue, at least in the first episode. There's a decent amount of it, but it just like, I don't know. It was just like mesmerizing to watch. The art style is interesting. Kind of reminds me of like Avatar, Last Airbender a little bit, but it's, it was just really cool. Like the first episode. So I'm excited to watch more. I know a lot of people love it, but yeah, I'm just going to wreck Scavenger's Reign. If you're into like sci-fi animated shows, I think it's from what people have said, one of the better ones out there. And after the first episode, I'm on board, so I'll give an update probably in a future app, but it's really great.
Yeah, it's been on my list for a while too. I love that art style. It reminds me of the game Sable. That art style is so sick, so that's definitely on my list and I'll have to keep it in mind. I do have an indie game demo to recommend though. I was scavenging the demo world because it's turn-based a festival, turn-based festival on Steam.
Yeah.
There's this demo called The King is Watching, which is a roguelike, resource management game where you have like a castle and it's like a 5x5 grid or 3x3 grid where you can build stuff in the grid and... you know, whatever, this one will make more wood so you can build places, and this one will make more humans so you can protect the castle, yada, yada, yada. And then you have certain events that are progressing as time goes by. But the interesting thing is you're the king, right? And you're just chilling in the bottom. You can just see the king's face. And the workers in each of these squares that you built something to do work in won't work unless you're watching them. So
really,
so you have to like actually pay attention and make sure you're watching the squares. And you're like, oh, I need more wood. The wood guys haven't been watching or haven't been working. So you got to go look at them. So I thought it was like a really, really cool mechanic and I'm excited to kind of wait for it to come out and watch its development. Just a really, really neat mechanic. I'm excited to see like how it progresses because it's super cool.
And now do you just like hover your mouse over that block to watch them?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it looks like from what I played so far and all, like you can upgrade and change the way you look. Like it's like a grid or like X amount of blocks you can see it is like it'll maybe be an L. Like three blocks, and then you can rotate it and stuff like that. And I think other king, you can choose other kings in probably the full game where they look at the place differently or whatever.
So, gotcha. Okay. All right.
It's that's a cool mechanic. So I was like, this is worth mentioning. So,
and you're trying to like you know, I guess is there stuff like storming the castle? You're trying mm-hmm. to like defend it and then you survive a certain amount of time, I guess.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Okay. Cool. Cool nice. Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I'm seeing it on Steam right here. It seems pretty neat. Might give that demo a shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Art style is cool too.
Yeah. Art style is really cool. That's what grabbed me originally. And I mean like the logo grabbed me actually immediately.
Yeah.
He's like bugging eyes. And, I was like, oh, that kind of seems neat. What's this all about? So yeah, cool stuff, folks. That's going to do it for episode 61.
Yeah.
I've been one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fresh Buds Pod. Check out, you know, the Fresh and Buds podcast. Talk about flesh and blood over there. I hope you all have a great Thanksgiving. Maddie, where can you be found?
I can be found at the corner of, I can be found at Maddie Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials and such. I hope that everyone has a great Thanksgiving. Right, this is before Thanksgiving, this episode, right?
The day before.
The day before. I hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving tomorrow if you're celebrating. If not, just pig out tomorrow anyway. You know, that's what we're doing here in America. Just go for it, you know, go get whatever you want and pig out. Get those pork leg and cheeses. And another good ep in the books. A little express episode here, past two ones, because we piled them up a little bit, but excited to come back in December, Tommy, see what's going on.
We could be totally different people in December.
We could. Yeah.
Oh, it's gonna
be wild.
Gonna be wild. Everybody, stay juicy.